Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl, back with another episodic issue of Defenders with Daryl. And this time I am joined by both hosts of X Reads the Podcast. It's Chandler. It's Chris. It's the dynamic duo. How are you both doing this evening?
Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's so fun to be here and to talk about the Defenders with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you didn't get Doctor Strange for our 1993 season. So I really wanted to give you a Doctor Strange issue, especially Chandler.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I mean, this ties into both of your careers, really. We're talking about the music business. We're talking about representing artists. It really brings it all together, I think, for both of you in a very personal and professional way, which I'm looking forward to exploring to see if this is your experience in your industries, because I think it might be.
So many demons.
It's so many demons, people feeding off of energies, people
yes, ghosting making deals at the with end, the devil.
Like someone being responsible and then not being there when it's time to, you know, answer for whatever it may be. All of these things happen in every line of work, but especially when you're hunting demons. So why don't we get into this? This is issue 96 of The Defenders. You have the august privilege of being stuck in the middle of something called the Six-Fingered Hand Saga, which is so hard. I have fucked that up so many times saying it on this podcast, because if you don't enunciate, it just kind of blew all together. So this is titled The Rock and Roll Conspiracy. Of course, it's written by J.M. DeMatteis, who started his career as a music reporter. So it was fun to see him sort of dip his comic toe into some past pursuits of his. And first of all, what do we think of this cover?
I love it. I think it's super dynamic and cool because we have guest starring the Ghost Rider. And we have Ghost Rider all aflamed in all of his glory. And this is also a nice little callback to when we did your annual series, and I was the Ghost Rider episode. So I feel like it all is coming together.
So he's looking very angry. I don't know if Ghost Rider has any other emotion other than anger.
A vengeance. I think that's an emotion, isn't it?
Or is it more of an outcome? So the Rock and Roll Conspiracy, we see this lead singer with those are the Green Arrow's boots on. He stole them from Oliver Queen, and he's singing some lyrics that I don't think are quite that great. You can tell he's sort of a hack, and he's set up to be like a hack artist. But I do love his backing band. These Scooby-Doo ghouls on all of the instruments just wailing away, having a great time. You can't see their faces. You just see the little eyes in the depths of the shadow. And he is singing some demonic lyrics. He being Asmodeus Jones. The song, we're told, is called Send in the Demons. And he is the self-proclaimed King of Devil Rock. So there's a lot going on. Like we sort of have this whole man's story given in one big splash page. And we see a close-up, and then a demon appears behind him. And this is Fashima, or Fashima. She's appearing. This is 1981. The technology is not quite there to have, like, Fashima appear like Tupac on the stage. But here we have a very special effect for 1981.
Yes.
And on the side of the stage, we have Asmodeus's manager, Felix D. Palmer, and his roadie, who is Johnny Blaze. So what do we think so far of this story setup?
I love the outfit of this lead singer here. And I think, you know, I need to add this to my dream cosplay list because, wow, we got two snake tattoos intertwined on the front of his exposed chest and front body. This, you know, very swimsuit-esque. I don't know, if I were to wear this by the pool, I would call myself demure.
Fair, yes.
Mindful. You know?
And then that's the latest craze in our vernacular right now today. Mm-hmm. Look it up on the internet if you're watching this in the, or listening to this in the way future. But yeah, you know, these cloak figures are very ominous. I'm very afraid of this six-fingered hand. You know?
Yeah.
This has got to be attached to something evil, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who do we have in the crowd? You know,
we have a lot of white people.
A suspicious amount of white people for a concert in Detroit.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. I mean, this looks like just of the era 80s crowd. You know, everyone is screaming with their hands in the air. They're just in love with Imodius. Or Asmodeus, sorry, who I had to look up, which is a demon king from Jewish demonology.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes, in Hebrew, the root word means to destroy.
Wow.
Asmodeus. So, you know, he's really deep. And
yeah,
you know,
he did some research. He went to his parents' encyclopedia set and he found the right name for himself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The fit on this outfit, Chris, is insane. Like, it is tucked. Like, that crotch is tucked.
Yes.
But the sleeves are really slinky, and they're secured by, like, this long cuff, like the long gold cuff.
Yes. So
the only option, that's double stick tape on his nipples.
It has to.
That stay. Otherwise, that's going to flap everywhere.
Of course.
And then the boots are heeled boots, by the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, mm-hmm. they do look like Green Lantern's boots with the buccaneer style cuffs that come down, but he's got the heel on top of it. So he's wearing this feminine leotard look with heels, but he is a devil worshiper. So cross-dressing is evil is what we're learning in this sort of context.
It's giving Kiss, it's giving David Bowie when he was Ziggy Stardust to a degree. So yeah, definitely both of those acts considered evil by certain elements in the country, I'm quite sure.
I guess so. The lyrics say nothing is true, everything is permitted.
Before we do that, I want to say, what era was that when the church was protesting Marvel? Was it this era or was it after for like the demonic content?
I think it might have been, like, if I'm thinking about traditional satanic panic in the United States, that would be like the mid 70s getting into this era. Like, it's still continuing here. Mm. So I can see it definitely being an element.
Well, I kind of want to try to sing these lyrics. Why don't each of you just take one of the panels and give it our best heavy metal shot? Who wants to go first?
Chandler, you started with the first one.
This idea, so you should go for it.
Oh. All right, here we go, everybody. Nothing is true, everything is permitted. 666 is a number to get with.
I'm getting My Chemical Romance.
Ooh,
I'm getting emo punk.
All right, Chandler, your turn. Give us the next one.
Fushima, baby, you're the ghoul of my dreams. Send in the demons, honey. Send them in now.
And it doesn't rhyme. Like,
not at all.
No one that Chandler represents in real life wrote these lyrics.
No. at least not to my knowledge.
And I think he might get like down deep, like some Led Zeppelin for the next one. Like, I'll be your servant, honey. That much I vow. Like growling into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she is into it. She appears as a result of these lyrics, and the crowds they have like the little tiny pupils, they are chanting Fashima, and We see sort of like energy goes down into Asmodeus as he strikes a flash dance pose.
Yeah. You know what? She's kind of hot for a demon. And dare I say, there'd probably be like guys that see this and be like, yeah, that's a hot demon. You know?
Mm-hmm. The crowd definitely. All these Detroit people eating it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all wide-eyed.
Yeah.
Hashima, Hashima. They're chanting.
Mm-hmm. The manager's sweating.
Yeah. So we leave the concert for a little bit because we have to go see what Kyle Richmond is up to. He's being helped by Valkyrie. And you two are dropped in the middle of this plot where his connection to what made him able to walk in the daytime was severed. But enough energy was channeled into him by Doctor Strange to stabilize him. So in daylight, he can't walk. But at night, he's totally fine.
He's Nighthawk at night, I gathered.
Exactly. So you can see he's the Bruce Wayne cipher in Marvel. He is obviously in some financial trouble. And he's talking to his lawyer and he's like, can you just like do your job? Like, I'm not going to tell you anything what happened, except I did, because I know you won't believe it. Like, would you believe if I said this? And the lawyer's like, come on, Kyle, be serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was very confusing for me, this little segment, because I was like, I don't know who this is. I don't know what's going on. They talked about, or I don't know if it's in this scene or in a future scene, they keep talking about the hand, which I know is a six-figured hand, but not to be confused with the ninja, the hand.
Correct, yes.
I was like, are we talking about ninjas or demons?
It's the defenders, so the default should always be demons. Yes. it's never going to be a simple street level thing. It's always going to be something mystic. And that's sort of where we go next. So the lawyer's like, Val, because Valkyrie is in her street clothes with some pigtails, and he's like, Val, just tell me that he has some good doctors. And she's like, the very best. He's a specialist. You may have heard of him. It's Doctor Strange.
Yes.
This is where we get the appearance of Dr. Stephen Strange. He's been meditating and Wong is concerned and brings him some tea. And it sounds kind of delightful. This is Wong being a very good friend and caretaker, honestly, of Doctor Strange, where he's like, you've been in here a long time, buddy. And Doctor Strange is like, here's everything I've seen. And he sort of projects it. And he's like, but I don't know what it means. And one of the things literally says, welcome to Detroit. Like, what could it possibly mean?
Where is this taking?
Looking for a sign. And it's like, oh, there's a sign.
I don't know where this is taking place.
So this is where we do get the footnote from editorial, that it's a demon coalition. So it's very clever, this entire arc. You may be able to decipher like around how many issues it is, since it's a six-fingered hand. They have to go around and confront a bunch of demons. So they've confronted two already. And this is where we get another interlude, which may confuse you. It's Patsy Walker, Hellcat, and the heartthrob Damon Hellstrom. We don't see his abs in this scene. We'll get to it.
Yes.
Good.
And Gargoyle. And this is Patsy's housekeeper. So Patsy's house was sort of destroyed by Gargoyle when he was, as he explains, doing the bidding of one of the other demons, Avarish. He said that he was trying to save the town that his family founded in Virginia, but he had to kidnap Hellcat so some rituals could be done on her. And also, he needed to apparently destroy her childhood home. And that's where the housekeeper got injured. And Patsy sort of flies off the handle. And she's like, why is he here? And he's like, I'm just a poor 85-year-old man stuck in this gargoyle body, lady. Like, I was trying to do my best. And she catches herself, and this is a little bit of development with the relationship between Damon Hellstrom and Patsy Walker. They just met in this arc.
Oh.
They would be married within 25 issues of this issue. So J.M. DeMatteis doing some quick relationship work here.
Right.
And Damon sort of taps into his energy and helps out the housekeeper. He's like, she'll be okay. It's just, you know, it'll be a slow, long recovery. Do you have any reaction to Damon Hellstrom dressed in a black t-shirt and a sport coat or anything else?
I mean,
I was the abs.
When they were the abs. Yeah, they're coming later, Chris. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, dropped into this storyline. This is definitely not, I feel like, during the friendly era of Marvel where they kind of every issue was standalone. So I definitely felt like I'm in the middle of the story with this one. Gargoyle was very confusing to me. Hellcat is fun to see. Now, I don't know Hellcat as well as most people, but I do know that she has, you know, an evil kind of, not evil side of her. I don't know how to say that, but she's basically, you know, she is of hell. So
it is, and that's sort of an undercurrent of where we are right now with this issue, that something's wrong with her, and there are little flashes where it sort of appears, and I think in the next issue, if I remember correctly, she's gonna snap, and then she becomes like a full-on demon, like pink skin, tail. Wow. Not what you're used to.
Yes.
So conveniently, Doctor Strange sort of taps into this, and he's like, oh, I see you're done at this hospital. Let me get you here real quick. And they have a team meeting, and he's like, again, there are signs, but what do they mean?
Mm-hmm.
It says, welcome to Detroit. Should we go there? And everyone but Kyle Richmond is like, yep, let's go. And he's like, you know, a lot has been happening lately. I've been going through some shit. First of all, I'm paralyzed, but only in the daytime. And then the government is like after me. The vampires, like yesterday. Anyone remember that? I'll just stay here.
I'm going to take tonight off.
Yeah.
Can I just chill?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to remain here in this large room with no background drawn in it. All I have are colors to support me in this environment, but it's still better than what you all are about to do. Then we flash back to Detroit, and
I love this. And the reason why, the second I saw these panels, I started singing Grease 2 Cool Rider in my head. You know I was going to go there, Chandler. You know it, because I brought this up before. Like, Cool Rider, a cool rider. He was just so dreamy. Do you remember this, Daryl?
I've never seen Grease 2, but one of my best friends swears by that movie, just loves it. And I can see how he would fit with that aesthetic too. Like, oh, yeah. You just need Michelle Pfeiffer around the corner from him, and it'd be a complete musical number.
Mm-hmm.
So poor Johnny Blaze gets blasted off of his motorcycle into some trash. And this is where we get the Damon Hellstrom full body yaddy yaddy treatment. And
yaddy 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 yaddy.
Yeah, no, he's got the look for sure. Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you down there, you may remember me from our past encounter, but we sort of need your help. We're the Defenders, in case you don't know that. And Dr. Strange says, we have some questions for you. And Johnny Blaze is already in Ghost Rider form. He's like, the fuck if I'm doing this again? I remember Marvel Spotlight number 13, Damon. It was not a fun time.
Exactly.
He has received.
I'm out of here.
And he's like, you know what? This motorcycle could become a hell cycle. And we're going to do some battle right now. And this is where we get the first battle scene of the issue, where Son of Satan with his cakes raises that trident, and he's like, I'm deflecting your power. Hellcat has her claws that extend on like slinkies from her gloves that she shoots at him. Valkyrie and Gargoyle go after him. Doctor Strange does Doctor Strange bullshit. It's what he does best, is conjure up some powers and a spell. And he's like, listen here, this isn't great. Damon Hellstrom activates his trident, and he doesn't entirely vanquish the demon. He's like, I sort of just push the demon back in deeper, because we need to talk to Johnny. We're not trying to talk to Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance right now. Thank you.
No.
We have no time for it.
Yes, put Johnny on the line.
And it says, one hasty explanation later, and Johnny's like, so you use the psychosensitive nether metal in your trident to seek me out? There we go.
Okay, now we know.
Yeah,
I will say Damian Hellstrom, I'm not familiar with him in comics. This is my first introduction to him in action. He seems to be able just to do anything he wants. He's like, I can heal you. I can fight you. I can find you. I can
do 100 punches during this battle.
And and my abs can distract you at the same time. So I'm like, who is this guy? All powerful, can do anything character.
Yeah, I don't really remember him from anything.
Well, I know he had the Son of Satan comic series, right? That was where he comes from.
Yeah.
And that was back in the 70s. So he is one of those characters that sort of lingered in the background, got floated over to Defenders Land. And I think J.M. DeMatteis, which really becomes apparent through all these issues, is playing with the toys that he is given and introducing new ones and figuring out who he likes writing and how he likes writing them. So this entire arc is throwing everyone into a pot and giving everyone a bit of a shine so that he's setting things up for his entire run. So just like I mentioned with Patsy and Damon, they are going to have a romance, and parts of that are played with during this run and set it up. So we get a little taste of his powers and everything they can do, because he is doing basically everything in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where they tap in and they're like, Johnny, so we need your info. Have you noticed like a six-fingered hand everywhere? And he's like, it's all clicking. It's all making sense now. Yes. I saw a demon. There was a six-fingered hand on the banner. Everyone was chanting and it wasn't a lyric. So maybe it all ties back to Asmodeus Jones. And Dr. Strange is, oh, Asmodeus Jones, you know what I'm going to do here on this rooftop? Are they still on the rooftop? No, they're in the street. He's like, time out. I gotta project astrally right now. Everyone be cool and watch my levitating form. So he springs out and goes to where Asmodeus Jones and his manager live. And he phases through a wall. And I don't know, this may have been an orgy like 3 minutes before. I wouldn't put it past them.
Are they the band members, or were they in the audience earlier?
I think these are just local girls.
Yeah, I think these are groupies. So, especially when one of them says, oh, Asmodeus, we'd do anything for you. And another one chimes in, yeah, nothing's too kinky where the king is concerned.
Oh, my.
Sassy.
Yeah. And the manager is like, that's great. Like, ladies, you can leave now. Like, we you're done here. We're done.
Out.
Get out.
The tour is to hell and back, giving me strong meatloaf vibes. We see that on a poster in the background, and this is where Asmodeus is like, what's wrong, man? Come on, Felix. The power transfer ritual is what we need to do. And you know what? We're going to give Fashima what she wants tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're performing like the final ritual, and it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be so great. And we see that Asmodeus wears the makeup all the time. He commits to his gimmick. He lives this lifestyle. And he also has eye rays.
He does.
Yep.
Unexpected that he blasts Felix with them. And Doctor Strange is like, I know where we're going tonight, a rock concert. And they have really nice seats. Like, this balcony is not taken somehow. So I have to imagine that Doctor Strange has performed some sort of spell to free up a really nice balcony seat for the Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of wondering, what do we do? So, and he's like, let it cook. Johnny Blaze is on the case. We're going to wait for Ghost Rider to bust in. Then we'll do our thing. So Fashima appears in her full glory, striking a pose, and many blasts of energy coming from her hands, head, knees, feet. It's very, it's demonic, people. Buckle up, because we are going to get another battle. And Ghost Rider comes in, he, on his hell cycle, of course,
mm-hmm.
from off stage, and goes after Asmodeus. Asmodeus, his eye beams in full effect, is trying to do battle with Ghost Rider, who has blast from his hands. I didn't know that he had that, but
I didn't know he had that either. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
Asmodeus blasts him off of the hell cycle, and the Defenders are like, time for us to fly in on our discs.
This is majestic AF, y'all.
Yes.
These are all from Doctor Strange, these discs, I'm assuming, right?
But like, yes.
I'm so afraid of this scene. Like, if I were one of those people, I'd probably be the far one on the right. I would just get on that disc and fall, like, trying to bounce on a skateboard. I just can't do it. I'd be splat right in the audience. I'd be, Doctor Strange, why did you do this to me? Just float me. Let me ride somebody's back. Don't give me a disc.
Yes. I want to know, what is Hellcat doing? Does she scream dark energy?
I don't know. It's the power effect is smoky.
Yes.
And mostly dark, but pink closest to her. So,
yes.
A cough.
I know.
She has COVID, and her superpower is spreading.
Yes. So,
she's got the flirt variant.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I love how Valkyrie's there just to try her best.
She is. She's like, I can't strike the demon because the demon is a female. But this dude down, this androgynous dude, is definitely a male. So I can strike him eventually. But she doesn't really get the opportunity because all of the distance blasts, if you're thinking about this in like the video game terms, these are all like very safe attacks to do because it doesn't seem like Asmodeus can do much. Like, he sort of blasted Johnny Blaze, but this is way too many. So this is why you always build up like your archery ability in a game so you can shoot, or you get spells so you can shoot him, because it works. And it's too much, and Asmodeus slash Fashima are overtaken by the power, and he's just sort of burnt out, and he's lying prone on the stage while 16,000 people in the crowd are just watching, apparently.
Yes.
Not reacting a whole lot. And Felix, the manager, is like, what did you do? And Damon gives an explanation, like, hey, you know, we just had a too powerful attack, basically. It was just too much. We overloaded him and we burnt Fashima out with him. Like, he'll be fine, he'll survive, but probably a slow recovery, as slow as Patsy Walker's housekeeper. And this is where we get the reveal that Felix was Asmodeus's brother. There's a dark panel. The demon takes Felix. So it seems like maybe it was Felix that made the deal with the demons to make this happen. rather than Asmodeus. And he gets taken away. He's gone, just off the board. Felix, bye. And Asmodeus is like, oh no, my brother, I'm so sad. And everyone is shocked, silence. And then Hellcat is laughing. So again, we're getting that thread of something is not right with her. She just cackles maniacally. She looks gleeful.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Everyone else is sort of stunned and just standing there staring at her.
I know. This was like the weirdest ending. I was like,
it really was. What? And boy, did she beat her face good.
Mm-hmm.
The epic lashes she's got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love Demanda to do this version of Hellcat. I need Demanda to do Hellcat from Defenders 96 and Defenders 96 only, where she can just read people to filth and laugh at mean things.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not normally Patsy's thing, but here it is.
Oh my
gosh. You're going to miss out on the next issue where we definitely have demons and angels and we're in Israel. It's a lot. And Demanda did that one, so don't worry.
Okay,
it's well covered.
All right,
but what were your thoughts and feelings on issue 96 and where we went on this journey?
Wow. Well, I will say that I learned all about Damon Hellstrom and what he's capable of and how he is like a new leader of the Defenders almost in this case. I thought Doctor Strange was, but maybe now he's just a guest star. But I definitely learned that the music industry is corrupt.
Oh, wow. No.
And they're just out to get our energy like a Sailor Moon villain. Mm. And and never make deals with devils because you'll just disappear into smoke if they fall apart.
Fair. Chris, what lessons did you take away?
That I need to like go back to the 70s and figure out more about this character, this son of the devil, because he's hot. He's got some nice cakes.
He is very hot. Philip loves him. Philip is collecting all of the appearances of Damon Hellstrom in comic book form, and it's a future cosplay. So there's a lot going on with Damon Hellstrom in this run, and then even after like this story arc, it gets even more complicated. It's a lot of fun. Chris, Asmodeus Jones is looking for representation now. So,
oh yeah, I hear you're available.
So how would you market Asmodeus Jones now that like his whole King of Devil Rock thing has collapsed? Like, how would you help him pivot his career? Where do you see him going?
You know, his wardrobe, as we have established earlier, is demure and meditative. And I think that he should take up yoga and use his beautiful outfits to inspire and teach classes on meditation and yoga inside of nature. And instead of worshiping demonic forces, he has now turned to be a light worker.
I like it. All right. I think that could really work in the social media age. Like,
yeah, he can write books about it. You know,
be an influencer. He would have a TikTok. You know, he would.
100%.
And I think there's a real opportunity here where he had this downfall, this public collapse in front of 16,000 people. You could really make this a thing where he goes on TikTok, he changes his username, like makes a big deal about like, I have given this up. By the way, have you seen my brother? You could do a whole thing on like, help me find my brother. And he knows that he's gone. But you could make it like a whole quest where he's touring around, helping people find the inner light, but also using some sort of hashtag like, where's Felix? To just keep the conversation going, get it trending, and using it to his advantage.
Oh yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, love it.
Any last minute thoughts on Defenders as you took this journey with me to 1981?
Hellcat is entirely intriguing to me.
Yes.
I want to know everything about her. I want to hear this laugh in person. I feel like I would also start laughing because I'd be like, are we laughing now? Oh, this is funny. She seems like she's just a gas.
And it, Chandler, we talked about Asmodeus and how he's going, but also the backing band. There's an opportunity there. If you want,
absolutely.
You can reach out to them, maybe do something with them. It seems like they were a good house band.
For sure. I mean, they obviously need to play at Wizarding World as the backup wizarding band because they've already got the cloaks. They're all set to go. Universal Studios is calling. They have the choreography.
Yeah.
It's a package.
Yeah, they bring all their own equipment too. They can take care of it.
Theme park work for that band is going to be a great gold mine for them.
They're going to be on City Walk for the next 25 years.
Yes. And I'm ready. I'm ready to see them there.
Yeah. All right, both of you. So this is coming out after the Uncanny Experience sophomore year. And what a great time it was. Like, resounding success.
Yes.
The great cosplays of...
Oh, and it went so well without any drama or any problems. Yes. It was just so smooth.
It was.
Without a hitch.
So as we're looking, you know, in this like late fall, early winter space, what are you looking forward to? What's next for X-Reads and for the Uncanny Experience? Tease us a little. Now that we've had that second year that was a resounding success, where everyone came, they saw, they conquered, they learned.
Absolutely. Well, what people can expect, of course, coming up for the Uncanny Experience is that we are going to be going into our junior year of school with Xavier Institute, transforming the Minneapolis Club into the beloved institute that all of our mutants attend. And it's going to be a summer school season as we have to move our dates to August. So we will be able to all gather in the summer months and enjoy the beautiful weather in Minnesota, as well as what the institute has to offer.
And if people want to stick around, I mean, the state fair is basically half of August. So like, come for Uncanny, stayed for the fried food.
Yeah, clearly. I would definitely recommend that to people.
And Chris, what about X-Reads? Talk to me about your phenomenal podcast and some of the things that you're celebrating as you move along. You're like a half decade in, which is fantastic. What do we have to look forward to when it comes to some of the books you want to read, even if they're not entirely booked yet, like Pie in the Sky? What would you love to cover in the next few months on X-Reads?
What would I love to cover? I actually want to cover the tragic Hellfire Gala. You know, we are so busy covering vintage classics of X-Men, and we've been living in the era of Claremont and Jim Lee for quite a while. But I want to dip my toes into something a little bit more monumental in the recent era. So that's something I definitely want to explore. And of course, you know, more interviews with and guests from different properties in the X universe. Yeah, there's so much to look forward to on X-Reads.
It's always a fun pivot when, much like you all, we talk about books that have been out for at least 10 years. And then you get a current or a near current book and it's a shock to the system. You're like, wow, okay. And it's such a nice change of pace. I won't say a breath of fresh air, because I think every issue we all cover is a breath of fresh air. It's something different. But it's so different from the things like even these issues in the Defenders. And then maybe the next recording I do is Peter David's X Factor. And you're like, totally different mindset. You are like 20, 30 years in the future, and the writing is so different. The art is so different. It really gives you an opportunity to take a different look at something and a new appreciation for it. So
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to your journey on your podcast as well. As we wrap up, where can people find all of your stuff? Give me all of the socials.
Oh,
well,
right.
I'll start. If you want to listen to X Reads, an X-Men experience where we recap vintage where we recap classic vintage issues of X-Men's with the stars and creators of the X universe, head on over to Instagram and all social media handles. It's at X Reads Podcast, letter X R E A D S Podcast, and follow us.
Yeah. And then if they want to follow you personally, Chris, where can they find you?
Personally? Oh, geez. Well, I guess if you want to follow me personally,
you
extra for Riley on Instagram. But, you know, I barely post.
But when you post, it is so worth looking at. So people should follow you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. And Chandler, tell us where we can follow the Uncanny Experience.
Yes, of course. So our X-Men Immersive Convention is on all social media platforms at The Uncanny EXP. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and YouTube and Discord. We're all over the place with The Uncanny Experience.
And Chandler, I cannot for the life of me remember your handle for your personal Instagram. I think I forgot. What is it?
You five got it, because it's never five get. That's never the number five get. And now don't five get it.
And of course, this counts as, I would say, an organic ad in a podcast for the Uncanny Experience. Since things went so well, we'll see if I continue as the programming director, or if it fucked up so badly, I ran away. But of course, it was wonderful. It went really well. And you can look for our call for program submissions in the late spring again. It was a lot of fun reading through everything. And we're looking for people to really bring that summer spirit next year with the junior year, and give us some different takes, look at the classes that were offered in the past, do something different in the future, or build upon something that has been presented before, mm-hmm. and turn it into something. Give us a secondary mutation for that, yes. program.
I'm going to throw out some gems for you all. Dazzler, a pop singer's retrospective. I'd love a history on Dazzler.
Yes.
I feel like that would go over very well.
It would. I hear that Taylor Swift might be coming to the Uncanny Experience, but legally we
just
can't
rumors.
Say anything.
Yes,
we,
I know.
Yeah, we can't say anything. Yeah. She showed up just like she showed up in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right.
What right. other ideas? You said you had multiple. Give us
another
one.
You know, I'm always loaded with X-Men ideas. So I feel like we definitely could do one on Hellfire Gala etiquette. I think that would be an etiquette class that we could talk about. All sorts of stuff. I would love to have a Gambit cooking class, or like a recipe kind of sharing class of Cajun recipes.
I got one. A pet class, and we learn all about like the cute animals, like Jeff the Shark, you know, the squirrels from Squirrel Girl.
Yes. Animal care. We're looking for an animal care and handling course.
Yes. So, I mean, there's so many ways to think about X-Men content within the context of an immersive convention.
The sky really is the limit, or even Shi'ar space. So everyone start cooking those ideas. Make sure to follow all of our socials, because all of us will be promoting when we'll be accepting some program submissions. And until next time, thank you for joining us. And we will be back to you with Demanda Martini in Israel for our next Defenders episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.